Thank you for tuning in to the Crossover Podcast. We hope this message inspires you and grows your faith. To learn more about Crossover, visit our website at crossovernorman.com or find us on Facebook and Instagram at Crossover Norman. Enjoy the message.
Father, you are already here and you are worthy of it all. Maybe some of us just need a rest in that tonight. That you are worthy of it all. Lord, my prayer tonight is that your word is heard, that it saturates our soul, that it penetrates our heart, and that your word isn't just a book on a shelf, but your word is life to us. Lord, let your words, we ask this in your name, amen. I was having my quiet time last week, and my quiet time was in 2 Corinthians, and as I was reading, God kind of tapped on my heart like, hey, this is what I want you to preach on, right? And I was like, well, Lord, I got everything lined out for 1 John, and he's like, who do you think you're talking to, bro, right? And I was like, okay, I'm sorry, Lord, yes, I don't want to be Job, all right? Please don't make me the next Job and lose everything and get boils all over my body, all right, Lord? Like, just, that's not how it happens. When God tells me to pivot, I'm like, heck yeah. Like, I want to see something, Lord. Like when he speaks, I'm like, hey, listen, if you want me to change something up, I will change something up. For tonight, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and when I was reading this over my quiet time, I started realizing something, is that I had these verses underlined, and usually in my Bible, I've had this Bible for a while, usually in my Bible, when something is underlined, I either have like a star next to it, or I have like a reference of kind of why I'm underlining it. You know, some of these are like Spokane, Washington, I have here that it touched me when a pastor talked about this, and I have a reference guide, or if it's just a big scripture that most of us know, like Philippians 4, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I underline like scriptures that are obviously big, and when I read this verse, I wondered like, why did I underline this verse? And I started reading it, and it kind of started bringing up some past memories. And I realized the moment that I underlined this was 14 years ago. And 14 years ago, I was in a whole different stage of life than I am now. Some of y'all are like, well, I was 4 years old, Brent. Yes, you were, all right? But I was in a whole different stage of life, and I was actually an intern at a church, and I was supposed to only be working like 20 hours a week, and I was working like 65 hours a week, and then I was going to seminary full-time, and I had a lot of things moving and shaking, and I realized at this point in my life, like I was struggling because I was trying to figure out, who am I going to be in Christ? Who am I? What is my next steps? What am I supposed to do? And I remember I was just really struggling with like my identity. And I was struggling with what was penetrated my heart because I realized, like, this is Paul. He had the whole world against him, essentially. He had everything wrong that could go wrong. He had a lot of things against him, but Paul, when reading this text, I realized, like, he had no identity issues. Like, his identity was so firmly founded in Christ, it was just cemented in. And it actually gave me peace because I was able to say, you know what, if I could just have faith like this, then my whole life could transform. If I could just understand maybe what Paul is trying to teach here, like, I could just understand so much more and apply it to my life. And I feel like so many of us right now, Like right now, you're trying to find your footing on like who am I going to be in Christ? And like, what does my identity look like right now? And how I walk in this world and how I talk in this world and the person that I'm supposed to be. And I feel like so many of you right now are trying to figure out like who am I? Like, who am I supposed to be in this crazy, hectic world? And I'm telling you, if we could just learn from Paul tonight, and tonight what I want to do is I'm only going to talk about one of the things that he talks about in our identity, in the way that we think of who we are supposed to be in Christ. He actually talks about two other things as well, and I ask y'all to maybe in your groups this next week or two, like I ask you to maybe talk about the other two things, right? Getting country up in her, right? But let's do it. Here we go. Let me catch you up right quick. This is actually 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me read the verse real quick. Verse 14, it says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in a triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of knowledge of him everywhere." Now let me catch you up here real quick. Nothing better than starting a new letter. Not only starting in a new letter, but starting in the middle of the letter, and it's the second letter, all right? We're in 2 Corinthians. But let me tell you what's kind of happening in just a few years before this. Paul started Corinth. It was just this little church that he established from nothing, and they're starting to grow and shake, and when they start growing from spiritual milk to spiritual meat, he steps away and he goes and he plants another church. And then he goes and he plants another church. And then he disciples people who are discipling people. And Paul, just being just a father of this church, prays for them all the time, as he says. He prays without ceasing for these people. But also the fact that he checks in from time to time like any other loving father would do. And the last time that he checked in before this, he heard a little something that was negative towards the church. He learned that there were these people called super apostles, is what they were calling them back in the day. These super apostles would come to these church, and they would try to not necessarily divert too much from the gospel. But what they would do is that they would try to get everybody to put their eyes on them. Kind of a braggadocious type of way, like I'm from Apollos and I'm from John, and like they would just try to establish their dominance, and they would just have this big me attitude, and like, I have everything right, I have so much power, I can preach so well, like I can preach with this power, I can lead with this power, I can do all things through me, right? And what happens in this product of their pridefulness is what they do in turn is then they point to Paul. And they say, how can you follow this man? Yeah, he said some good words. Yeah, he's written down some good things behind pen and paper. But when you look at him, man, he's such a weak little man. Like, how can you follow him? His leadership is so different. It's not powerful. It's not a leader. And they're trying to take his leadership away and attacking his apostleship and his discipleship towards this church that we are looking at. And what Paul does in the first letter of Corinthians is he's explaining to the church how this boasting is lacking all types of awareness. In the first church, what he wanted them to be able to realize is they're lacking awareness in the fact that the only reason why this church is alive is because of what Jesus had done in Paul. And Jesus inspired Paul to go to Corinth, get these people, mingle them together, and start a church. And he goes, man, it's crazy talk that it's because of Jesus and what he's done in me, and he's used me as a vessel to start this very church. You wouldn't even be a church if it wasn't for what God had done in and through me. But also he wanted them to realize that the boasting of these apostles were wrong on many levels, mainly because the measuring stick at which they were using was only about their boasting. And he wanted his people to know that the only measuring stick that you and I and other believers are supposed to have is the measuring stick at which we are going to be standing toe-to-toe, face-to-face with Jesus, all alone. It's just going to be us and Jesus. And the only measuring stick that he is going to give for us is the same measuring stick that is going to either allow us to go into the gates of heaven or not, right? Or the rewards that we are going to be getting in heaven. And that one measuring stick is on our faith. Paul's first letter brought a lot of people back. But then we see that he needed to write a second letter. And they needed to know that the way that they were living was setting them up to lose sight on the people that God has called them to be. So I said that Paul gives three ways, but today we're only going to look at one way of how God has set us up for this. And Paul says there's three ways. First, he says, but thanks be to God, who in Christ Jesus always leads us in this triumphal possession. When I look at that and when I read that, and the reason why that captivated me so much, especially when I was reading this, is it showed me that we are captives of Christ. And see, for us, we look at this and we don't think much of it, but the Corinthians knew in that time. They knew exactly what Paul was talking about when he writes about this situation. See, this triumphal procession, come on, it's a hard word. Words are hard sometimes. It was going back to all these conquering generals who would conquer cities, and they would lead in these triumphal processions. And what would happen is that these generals, they would go into cities and they would have war with them, and then they would win and they would conquer them. And then all the people that they would triumph over, the people that they conquered, they would bring back to their city, and then they would have a parade. And the first in line was the general, the second in line was the army, and the last bit of people were the people that had just been taken control of, had been taken over. And Paul here is like, listen, this is not a bad thing. Like, I'm rejoicing in this fact. And he says, thanks be to God that he triumphed over me. And what he's saying that is that I don't see myself as the conquering commander. And I don't see myself as even the soldiers. What I see myself is the ones that are in the back. And I'm okay with that because God has triumphed over me and I am a captive to Christ now. And I understand it. Now, why do you think he's excited to be a captive of Christ? Why do you think he's excited that God has triumphed over his life and has taken control of his life? Why do you think he's excited about that? Because who was Paul before he was Paul? There's a good question. Who was Paul before he was Paul? Where was he going? For many of you, you don't know, but Paul used to be a man named Saul, and he was a savage. And he was a person that disliked Christians, and he would either persecute them, and he would bring them out of their own houses and beat them. And he would persecute these Christians for their faith. And he was going against the very will of God. And with someone who was on their way to a fiery grave for all of eternity, Paul was walking down the road to Damascus. And he had a divine encounter where this bright light happened. And it happened to be Jesus. And Jesus blinded Paul. It said that he had scales over his eyes. And at that moment, Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting my people? And at that moment, Saul realized that everything that he had learned before that moment went into the drain. And he realized that Jesus was real and it was something that he needed to follow. At that moment, he was conquered by Christ because he knew that Christ was real and it was someone that he needed to follow. And at that moment, he became Paul, the person that he needed to be in Christ. See, Paul, to be prideful was contradictory to what the Bible was claiming to him. Because you can't be prideful in yourself if you have been made a captive in Christ. And what Paul was trying to show is that it's exactly opposite of what these super apostles were trying to say. And Paul was trying to tell them, like, listen, like we're supposed to Matthew 16, for anyone who follows Jesus, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. You're supposed to deny everything. You're supposed to deny your possessions. You're supposed to deny your future. You're supposed to deny your fears, your finances, your singleness. Come on now, right? You're supposed to deny everything. Nothing has power over you except for the fact that you pick up that cross and you follow Jesus. That is your life. That is what you're living for. That is what a captive of Christ is. And if you do that, 1 Thessalonians says that I know that you have followed God when you turned to God and you turned away from the idols of this world and you followed his son, Jesus Christ. But when you follow and when you are this captive that is captivated by the love of Christ, you're going to face some hard times. You're going to face some persecution. But persecution won't make you shrink back. And what Paul says many times, as we said, persecution actually makes you go forward. I went to Brazil about 10, 11 years ago on a mission trip. I really enjoyed it. And I got to meet the missionary that was there. And when I tell you, like, this guy loved the people of Brazil so much, it was magnetic. And he just cared so much for these people. He didn't speak their language, even moving in there. It took him 2 years, and now he was fluent in it. And I just remember, like, asking him a bunch of questions, and he had all the answers. He knew everything about this people group. He knew how to reach them. He told me about a lot of their secret churches that they had to start in some of the harder areas. He told me about some of the foreign huts and tribe groups out in the Amazon that they were able to sneak into and tell them about Jesus real quick and sneak out before they got hurt. And I was just like, man, this is crazy. And I was sitting back in the back of the church that I was about to preach at. It was my first time to have an interpreter. That was an experience, right? And I remember just asking him this question. I go, Rob, like, do you think you'll ever move back to the States? And he went from, like, this happy, like, fluffy guy to, like, straight serious with me. And he goes, we have 3 years left here. Like that's all the time that the board has allowed me to stay here. And he goes, I hate to think about that question, because he goes, I hope that if it was my choice, I would rather live here for the rest of my life than ever go back to America. And I was like, well, why is that? And he starts tearing up. He goes, because I know that I would get way too comfortable in America. He said, no lie, I can't tell you how many nights that I've stayed awake and I've just begged God to protect our house because I heard people outside and I was just wondering if they're going to break in. He goes, I can't tell you how many times we've gone and started a secret church in a place and authorities were looking for us and we knew it and we were praying, but the Holy Spirit showed up in such a real way and we got so excited for Jesus and Jesus protected us. And he's like, I can't tell you about all the miracles that Jesus has just shown up with. And man, I can't tell you how many times I've walked through streets and people have mocked me. People bumped into me because I'm the Christian white guy around here. And he goes, every bump, every look, every spit, he goes, I take it and man, and God just blesses me for it. He goes, I don't want to go back to America because persecution has made my faith even stronger. And I know I'd get too comfortable there. He goes, where I used to be afraid of persecution, he goes, now I welcome it. Listen, these super apostles that were coming in, they wanted everybody to love them. They wanted everything to be good and dandy. But Paul was saying, like, you cannot, listen, students, you cannot be a captive of Christ who is denying yourself of everything. And you are picking up your cross daily, every single day, renewing your mind daily, following him daily, and not see some difficulty in your life. See, Paul is going against the very thing that these guys were saying. They wanted to be so loved. They wanted to be seen. They wanted to get praise. But Paul is saying, no, no, no. The telltale sign of our closeness to Jesus is not how much the world loves you, but it's how much the world dislikes you. And so, students, we have one verse today. I have one verse, one point today. Midterm week, amen, hallelujah, everybody with me, right? We have one verse that's trying to show us how we can understand who we're supposed to be in Christ. And what does Paul say? He actually goes against what these super apostles say. They're trying to say, hey, we need to have strength. We need to show our strength. We need to be powerful. And you know what Paul is saying? Listen, it's not in my strength that I am to live. And I can't offer you super strength, and I can't offer you all of these things and greatness. But what I can offer you is my weakness. And he writes later in 2 Corinthians that in my weakness, God's power is made perfect. And I started thinking about that. And I started thinking about how many of us try to be these super apostles. I can't tell you how many times I've done it. Like I try to show all of my strengths, right? Like I'm going to step out and I'm going to show my strength. I'm going to be able to move because I can move in things that I know that I can do. I know without a shadow of a doubt there are some things that I can do. I can mow a lawn like the best of them. Amen. Hallelujah, right? There's a lot of things that I know that I can do. I know when God tells me to go talk to that homeless person where it used to be something I would kind of flutter at, I got no problems with it. It is another day in the life of Brent Russell to go talk to a homeless person and tell them about Jesus. I don't even think about it now. It's just that fluid. And see, I'm so good at being the super apostle and walking in my strength. And Paul is trying to be like, listen, like I don't have all that strength. And I don't necessarily have all that confidence. And I just wonder, are we ever trying to be like Paul and walk in our weakness and not trying to walk in our strength? Like, are we trying to be like Paul when the Lord says step, and we take a step not knowing if we have confidence in whatever we're stepping into? And when he says speak, you don't have the confidence to necessarily say the right things or do the right things. And when he says speak, I want you to go talk to that person. Do we go walk and do we go speak to them, not knowing exactly the words that we're about to say or not? Or when he says switch majors and you know it's from him, are you going to switch majors because God told you to, but you don't know what your future looks like, but you're going to walk in this weakness knowing that God has told you to do it? How many of us only do what we feel confident in doing? And we never walk in what we feel weak in. Only in what? Your weakness can his power be made perfect. What's that measuring stick that we're going to be judged by? Your faithfulness. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I'm going to close with just two things tonight. Is that okay? Can we track with us? I know that you got a lot. Who's done a lot of studying so far? Good, four people. Who needs to do a lot more studying? Okay, I'm going to try to keep your brains here, all right? Anybody got ADD like me, right? Okay, here we go. Let's focus here. two ways that I'm going to try to make sense of this in our life. Over the last 14 years of ministry for me, I want to be a little vulnerable here, is that God has asked me to step out into my weaknesses many times. It was talking to strangers. It was evangelizing. It was things that he was starting me off with. And I was walking in my weaknesses. And I know that y'all see this older, good-looking, like, minister up here. Buzzed head, right? A little bald, all right? But I know that when y'all hear me, I preach with power, right? I preach with confidence. I preach with boldness. But can I tell you something? Is that every week that I know that I'm about to preach, I write in weakness. I write in weakness. And I can't tell you how many times I've written and rewritten and deleted and subtracted and placed things different places. And every time, and I am writing a weakness. God, I need you to show up. God, I need this to be powerful. And every single week, I come up here prayed up as much as I possibly can. And I say, God, I hold my sermon. I did it even this evening. I held my sermon. I said, God, I need you to show up in my weakness. Because if you do not show up, then this will be weakness. And every single time, I promise you, whether it is announcements at something, or it is a little kid's Bible study, or it's crossover, or it's a church, or if it's FCA, every time that I get up to speak, I promise you, I am walking up in my weakness every single time, because I'm like, God, you need to show up. Now, let me tell you, over 14 years, I have stepped up into my weakness every single time that I have preached. And out of 14 years, I have been a part of a little over 3 ministries now. And over 3 ministries, they have grown from very little to very big for what they were. Now, do I say that in a braggadocious way? Absolutely stinking not. I say that in a way that God showed up. And I remember, and when I look back at all 3 of those ministries, and I think about all those times the night before. Anybody with me? The night before the main day. About me laying on my face and begging God to show up, especially those early years. God, just please show up and make this sermon yours. Listen, students, if you never step up into your weakness, you won't ever be able to thank God for making his strength perfect in you. Do it. I'm telling you, from a man who stepped up many times in my weakness on a weekly, I beg you to step up in your weakness. What is your weakness? You tell me, is your weakness evangelizing and you know you're supposed to go to your sorority sisters or your friend groups or your dorm rooms or your apartment complexes and just tell people about Jesus? Is it serving others? Is it stepping out of your comfort zone and just maybe inviting somebody in to your friend group? Listen, students, we need more people inviting other people into your proximity. And inviting them into your friend group. If you want to be a ministry that's going to change this campus, we have to have people inviting people, having evangelism conversations with people, telling people about Jesus. Is our weakness maybe stepping in the ministry? I cannot tell you the last time in crossover I have had somebody surrender to ministry. I can't tell you. I really can't tell you the last time. But I guarantee there's someone in this room tonight that they know they are called in the ministry and they know it's their absolute weakness. I promise you, I've been there. What is your weakness? The other thing that I've seen God's power be made perfect in weakness is actually why Paul wrote that statement in chapter 12. I'm going to read it for you. I didn't put it on this. I wanted y'all to focus here. This is what it says. Is therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times, this is Paul saying, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, my insults, my hardships, my persecutions and difficulties. When I am weak, then I am strong. Students who have a thorn in your flesh right now, it could be an illness that you've dealt with for a while. It could be some type of disorder. It could be some type of health issue that you have. It could be maybe even a mental issue, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. It could be a depression. It could be an anxiety. It could be some type of funk that you are in right now. Listen, Paul, who I consider to be like the second best Christian ever to live next to Jesus, all right? Like, he prayed to Jesus three times, not once, not twice. He prayed three times for Christ to take this thorn away from his flesh. We don't know what it is. Some people think it was a limp. Maybe some people thought it was a stutter. Maybe some people thought it was headaches. They don't know exactly what it was, but they know that Paul tried to get him taken away and God did not heal them from it. But instead of slumping down and just thinking about how depressed he is over the situation, he actually uses it. And he's thankful for it. And he changed his attitude about it. Because how many of us think, what could I be if I just didn't have this? If I didn't have this thing hanging over my head, if I didn't have this depression, if I didn't have this anxiety, if I didn't have this health issue in my life right now, like, just think of all that I could be, Lord. Just think of all the things that I could do. If I didn't have this stomach issue, or if I didn't have this physical ailment, I could be so much more. And what Paul is saying is, oh, thank God for my thorn in my flesh. Because, Lord, what would I be if I didn't have this? And he changes his whole tone of, what could I be to, but Lord, let's be serious. What could I be? What would I be if I didn't have this thorn in my flesh and I was go, 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 and I was doing all these things and I was aspiring to be the person that maybe I thought I should be? He says, thank God for this thorn in my flesh because it helped me from being conceited. And if I was that person, then I wouldn't be as dependent on you as much. Students, I cannot tell you the amount of hours that I have laid awake because of excruciating migraines in my life. And I know some of y'all have had these as well. I've had migraines that no pill will touch, no ice pack can help, no hot showers can take away. It is literally a constant pain in my head that I cannot shake. And in those moments when I am lying there in complete darkness, hurting so bad that I can't even fall asleep, you know who the only person is there with me? It's Jesus. And in that moment, I know that I'm connected with the Father, and over the years I've matured in my walking and talking with Jesus in these moments. And I'm telling you, it has been such a clear time because I can't even focus on a TV show. I can't see light. I can't do anything. The only thing that I can do is that I can practice the presence of God, practice being in His presence and knowing that He's there and walking with Him through it and talking with Him and being able to feel who He is and what He wants for me. And I thank God for everything that He's done. I even have gotten to the point where I realize that my migraines haven't disabled me from being anything. They've actually enabled me to be the follower of Christ that I needed to be. It always brings me back that even in my weakness. Even though I could go get so many more things done if I didn't have these moments of migraines. That in my weakness, he shows up. And man, I'm telling you, his power is shown. He works in me in ways that I could never imagine. Students, what's your thorn? What is the thing that you think is limiting you right now? And maybe it has been limiting you right now because you are needing to be someone right now that God wants you to be right now because of this thorn. It's not disabling you, but you need to switch and think, man, it is enabling me to be in the presence of God. In our weakness, we can look at our thorn, and instead of cursing the thorn, we are thankful for him helping us to be the person that we need to be, because in our weakness, his strength is shown. So students, as we end up tonight, do you want to start your identity right? Then make sure that you are a captive of Christ. How many of us tonight, we don't know if we're a captive of Christ. We don't know if we are a follower of Christ, and I beg that we nail that down, that we know that we're supposed to follow Christ and deny everything else in this world. That the only thing that matters in this world is picking up our cross and following Christ no matter what where it takes you, no matter what persecution you have, no matter what turmoil you're going through. But the only thing, the only measuring stick is our faithfulness towards Jesus. Some of us, we need to fix that tonight. I would love to talk to you personally about making sure we are with Christ and we are denying ourselves and walking like him. But my other two questions is simply this. Is how are we laying out our weaknesses right now and realizing that God is calling us to step up in our weaknesses? And what areas is God saying for you to step up in, and you're feeling weak, you don't have confidence in it, you don't have boldness in it, but you know that he's told you to do it. Listen, guys, there's a little thing called delayed obedience is disobedience. And if you're delaying it and you're waiting for you to be confident in it, it's not obedience, it's disobedience. I beg you to go step up into your weaknesses this week. Maybe it's with your test. Lord, you know what? I'm going to study hard, I'm going to pray hard, and I'm going to test hard. Lord, show up to this. What is your weakness that you need to step up in? And then what's your thorn? Some of us, we have these thorns, and they've been dominating our life for so long, and we're tired of it. I beg you to flip it. Don't think of, Lord, what all I could do if I didn't have it. Why don't you think, Lord, thank you for allowing this in my life, that I'm able to be more centered in you, and I'm more able to rely on your strength, and you bring me through this than I am able to rely on my own.